All right, well, let me jump on into my opening monologue today. As always, the Right Side Way monologue, my thoughts about different things on culture and faith and politics and all of it. And I got to tell you, last night, I had a great time speaking to a group of military retirees at the monthly local meeting of the Military Officers Association of America. Such amazing folks, many of whom I've actually known for years. And I told them I was proud to know them, proud to be affiliated with them, proud of the military that they had all served in so selflessly over the years. And I told them about my own family, with consecutive generations of service from my grandfather, my father, myself, now my son, all having served in the U.S. Army. And pretty much every head in the room was nodding in agreement when I said, I want our military back. I do. I want for my grandson what my son saw in me and what I saw in my father and grandfather. Despite the fact that Biden's Secretary of the Army, Christine Warmoth, announced that she wants to get away from what she calls legacy military families. Why? What's wrong with that? Legacy military families? Well, she said that because, in her words, Secretary Warmoth, who, by the way, has never worn a uniform, she said she's concerned that by encouraging young Americans to follow their dads and moms and uncles and cousins into service would somehow develop a warrior caste. That we don't need that, she says. I got news. That's exactly what we need. And I told them last night. We need a military, and they all agreed. We need a military that is so empowering, so excellent, so unashamedly strong, so feared and revered on the world stage, that the younger generation sees it and says, I want to be a part of that. But to get there, it's going to take new leadership. And it will definitely take a concerted effort to restore that which the Biden administration has so willfully and recklessly torn down and stripped away. But I say all that with the actual hope and belief that we're heading in that direction. I mean, I believe that culture will follow. Or maybe it's really that culture is leading. Maybe the people of America spoke louder than the narrow-minded cultural progressive minority that's had control now for a few years. Maybe even Hollywood will get back to movies like more of Top Gun Maverick and that kind of thing that just simply makes us proud of our soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines. By the way, what happened to Hollywood? Think about it. What happened to Hollywood? Remember when Hollywood loved America? I mean, to be sure, there's always been detractors in the movie industry. It's a free country. Equal rights of speech and assembly to those who dig ditches and fight wars and make movies. But there was an overt and active pro-America feel in Hollywood until recent years. Lee Marvin, Kirk Douglas, David Niven, Jason Robards, Audrey Hepburn, Paul Newman, they all served in the military. Ronald Reagan, his service did not take him overseas, but many are not aware that he actually enlisted 5 years before World War II and was in a National Guard cavalry unit. Even those who did not serve in uniform nonetheless loved and promoted American military values and the warrior ethos. People like John Wayne in movies like The Sands of Iwo Jima and The Green Berets. Actors who did not agree with the national sentiments or had opposing political views still didn't seem intent on tearing down the country. But too often today, Hollywood award shows are just, you know, at their all-time lowest in ratings with acceptance speeches that serve as rants against the very country that makes Hollywood elites rich and famous. We hear about conservatives in Hollywood's finding themselves blacklisted for daring to be a conservative. Although there are some notable exceptions, and I love it when they stand up like actors John Voight or Kevin Sorbo or Chris Pratt or Zachary Levi. But in that vein, I want to tell you a bit today about one of my favorites. Somebody who was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, and he's old school, he's a classic from the heyday of Hollywood, black and white and Technicolor, and he was a patriot. And until recent years, I had no idea what he had actually personally done in uniform. But I found a book a few years ago by accident, and I just had to buy it. It was a great read, too. It's called Jimmy Stewart, Bomber Pilot. Jimmy Stewart, Bomber Pilot. And he didn't write about it himself. It was written by someone who had witnessed something that they felt the rest of the world had to hear. Something Jimmy Stewart would not tell himself because he was too humble. Stewart achieved moderate success as an actor in the 30s and 40s, but then the world changed. World War II was coming down the pike. It was becoming something the United States realized it was going to have to join. Jimmy Stewart became the first big American movie star to enlist in the U.S. military, the Army in his case, in order to do his part in the war. And it wasn't so much of a leap for him to make this move because both his grandfathers were U.S. Civil War veterans. His father was a veteran of the Spanish-American War and World War I. Being in the military was simply a part of his family's tradition. Go figure. A warrior caste, maybe? Well, upon first enlisting, Jimmy Stewart was rejected from the military for being underweight. I mean, he could have walked away at that point, but he gained some weight and successfully enlisted in February of 1941. And he immediately applied to receive an Army Air Corps commission, both as a college graduate and as a licensed commercial pilot. And that path worked well for him. Jimmy received a commission as a second lieutenant in January of 1942 in the wake of Pearl Harbor. But Jimmy Stewart was still under contract with MGM Studios, so because of this, he was allowed to make public appearances during his military service, but they were limited to things that related to the Army Air Force. Stewart appeared in a short film for the military called Winning Your Wings, which was made to help recruit more men into the Air Corps, and by the way, it was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Documentary in 1942. By the way, the same year it was released in movie theaters nationwide, the movie Winning Your Wings with Jimmy Stewart is credited with gaining over 150,000 new recruits to the Air Corps. Go figure. But Jimmy Stewart himself, he was not content to be out of the action. He was concerned that because he was already a celebrity, that his status might mean the military would keep him behind the lines. And at first that was true. Stewart was tasked to a year-long assignment training other pilots in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But then Jimmy Stewart went to his commander, and he specifically asked for service on the front lines. And he was sent to England in November of 1943 as part of the 445th Bombardment Group to be a pilot for a B-24 Liberator. A B-24 Liberator bomber flying over occupied Europe. And the Hollywood actor, very quietly but firmly, flew 20 combat missions as a B-24 bomber pilot to include one of the most dangerous, deadly, and famous bombing missions of the entire war, to bomb the Nazis in their industrial sites at Schweinfurt, Germany in 1943. Later, Jimmy Stewart became a squadron commander. Think about this, a Hollywood star. He's now flying bomber missions at great risk to himself, just staying out of the limelight, and then he even becomes a squadron commander. Stewart was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross for his actions, among other awards, and in March of 1945, Jimmy Stewart was promoted to full bird colonel. It made him one of only a small handful of Americans to go from private to colonel in just 4 years. After the war, he came back to the States. Jimmy Stewart was one of only 12 men who got together and formed what we now know as the Air Force Association in October of 1945. But his love for the military didn't end. Stewart couldn't leave it. Stewart remained on as a reserve Air Force officer. And in 1959, Hollywood actor Jimmy Stewart was meritoriously promoted to Brigadier General, making him the highest-ranking actor in the history of the U.S. military. He even did, by the way, he did another active stint in February of 1966 when he flew as a non-duty observer in a B-52 over a bombing mission in Vietnam. Yeah. So yes, Brigadier General James Stewart. He spent a total of 27 years in official military service, while also making movies and being known as a beloved actor for most of his time. And when he retired in 1968, he was awarded the U.S. Air Force Distinguished Service Medal. And Stewart, who rarely talked about his service, obviously loved it. And when he passed away in 1997, Jimmy Stewart, the actor, the colonel, the war hero, was buried with full military honors, benefiting a man of his rank, position, and service. Yeah, I'm telling you, they are still out there. There are people who match the pride and esprit de corps of the previous generations, even in Hollywood. And we need more of them. We need them to get loud again, by the way. But I have to wonder, think about this. I told you earlier what Secretary of the Army Christine Wormuth said about how we don't need a warrior caste. We don't need to have legacy military families. Really? But I have to wonder, what if Jimmy Stewart had not seen and heard the stories about his father and his grandfathers, all of whom had served in the military? I mean, would he have been as eager then to put on a uniform? Would he have been as quick to serve his nation as a true warrior if he had not had the examples of his mentors in the generation before him? Contrary to what bureaucrat Army Secretary Christine Wormuth believes, we actually do need generational warriors. We need a military, again, that is so empowering, so excellent, so unashamedly strong, so feared and revered on the world stage that the younger generation sees it and says, I want to be a part of that. Like Jimmy Stewart, bomber pilot. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.